Welcome to the AI for Churches podcast. In this episode, Bart and I start out by chatting about some tips to improve your AI prompts. And then later, I interview a really cool guy named Jake Carlson about how AI can actually be used for church apologetics. With that, let's get started.
Welcome to the AI for Churches podcast. Our goal is to equip pastors and church leaders with resources related to artificial intelligence, helpful for sermon prep, creative ministries, outreach, and more. We do this by providing exclusive insights from AI experts, church leaders, and innovators actively leveraging AI to amplify the gospel and reach more people for Jesus Christ. Here are your hosts, Bart Blair and Dr. David Thorne.
You're listening to another episode of the AI for Churches podcast. My name is Bart Blair, and I am joined by Dr. David Thorne. Good day to you, David.
Good day to you as well.
We are recording this in the fall of 2024, and I don't know about how things are where you live, David. Awesome weather here in the Dallas-Fort Worth area. The sun is shining. There is absolutely nothing artificial about our weather right now. It's absolutely stunning. And here we are sitting at our desks recording videos. It'd be a great day to be outside playing golf, but I'm not. What's the weather like in Cleveland today?
Yeah, it's great. We played some outside soccer recently. And the fact that you can even play outside soccer without wearing 20 layers of clothes and looking like the kid from the Christmas story who can't put his arms down is great. So it's great.
That's a lot of fun. Now, I'm in the Dallas-Fort Worth area. You are in the Cleveland area. And for those of you who listen to the podcast who might be football fans, we are not talking about the Dallas Cowboys or the Cleveland Browns. Skipping to discuss things about AI. If you happen to be new to our podcast, how was that? I don't know why I did that, why I said that. The Dallas Cowboys are having a terrible season and the Browns aren't much better. And it's just it's very miserable. Why am I talking about it? Okay, I'm going to keep talking about the podcast. Okay, we do this podcast because we want to help churches better understand artificial intelligence, how it impacts their ministry, how they can better leverage it to be more efficient, to be more creative, to be more impactful in the work that they do, and to simply not be afraid of it. And I am a pastor and a practitioner. David has also spent a good bit of time in vocational ministry. We've both been in ministry. If you are a person listening to this and you are in ministry, we've been likely in the seat that you're sitting in. And so we understand sometimes new technologies come along and we're not always sure what to do with them. The church cannot get left behind in this AI world. So we produce this podcast to be a help for you. And in just a few minutes, we're going to share an interview that David recently did with Jake Carlson. Very fascinating, interesting, different stuff. That's one of the beauties of this particular podcast is that virtually every guest that David lines up has a different level of experience, different tools, different things that they can shed light on as far as AI is concerned. So hopefully you're finding this podcast to be helpful today. We'll get you to set that interview up here in just a few minutes, David. You wanted to spend a little bit of time before we got to the interview today chatting about AI prompts. That word prompts is hard to say without popping the podcast microphone. Prompts. We're going to talk about prompts. Why don't you start by defining what a prompt is for AI?
Yeah. So when you interact with any kind of OpenAI's, or Claude, or any of these platforms, it is a chatbot. And it's meaning that there's an interaction that's back and forth between you and it. And so what happens is you write a task or a question. The thing that you write is called your prompt. and then when you hit enter, it could be a task. It could be a question. It can be a conversation starter, but that is your prompt. And then the large language model like Claude will give you a response. So that is a prompt. And I was bringing up to Bart, I've been thinking a lot about how can we help people even know what to do with that prompt? Like if you're trying to do a task, how do you speak the language so that you get a really good response versus a very unhelpful response?
Okay. That's a really good question. I had the opportunity to to do a little webinar a week or two ago with a group of churches. And basically, I was kind of walking them through different ways to write or create prompts. I think that that's one of the sources of frustration that a lot of people have when they've had experience with ChatGPT or Gemini or Claude or any of these large language model chatbots. They sometimes are frustrated because they don't get from the machine what they were hoping, or it's not usable, or even worse, it really isn't usable, but they still use it. And that's something that is always, it's for those of us who spend a lot of time in AI, man, I see the AI writing from a mile away. I've got a friend who posts content on LinkedIn almost every day, and I can tell by the way that it's written that it was written by ChatGPT. It's like, it's just super obvious. And so I think that there are some ways to better get the results that you're looking for. Also get results that are closer to being a product that you can use. I'm always a little bit cautious about the whole copy and paste and use it as it, you know, comes out of the machine. But why don't you talk through a little bit some ways that people can improve their prompts to better get the kind of results that they're looking for?
And we could talk about this a lot, and you probably have multiple ideas and things you can share as well. So I'll just start with one real quick one. You can start by asking just help from ChatGPT. You can say, I'm trying to write a prompt that does blank. Here's things I need to add in. Help me write this prompt. Enter. So very basic. Just ask it for help. I have a few more, but Bart, how about you? Do you have some just tips or tricks that you found in helping you?
Generally speaking, like I always, number one, I think one of the things that people don't do is they don't give the prompt enough information. So I start with telling the tool what I need my end product to be. So for instance, I'm working on a job description, a ministry role in my church. And I started by telling Claude, I need a position description for this particular role in the church. The person will report to this person. These are the primary objectives in their job. And then I just started kind of going through some bullet point things that I thought needed to be in the job description. Okay. Just bullet pointing. I'm not giving it detail. I'm not writing anything. But here's the last thing. And I do this on almost 100% of my prompts. I finish with, ask me clarifying questions. Mm-hmm. When I use that, especially in Claude, Claude will always ask me 5, 6, 7, 8 questions that are like, oh, I didn't even think about that. Oh yeah, that would make sense if Claude understood that aspect of it. And so then by going through and answering the clarifying questions, sometimes it's just like, no, you don't need to include that. Yes, that would be helpful, right? You just kind of go through and answer those questions. The end result is almost 100% of the time closer to what I was looking for on the first draft than I would have gotten had I just said, hey, I need to write a ministry job description for a small groups pastor in a small church of less than 100 people. Go. Okay. Mm-hmm. Well, Claude will then go and use other content that it finds to create that job description. But the more detail I give it about what I'm looking for in that job description, the better. And then asking the clarifying questions really helps solidify that.
Yeah. And that's where I was going to go next. And as we kind of move towards our interview, I want to mention this, that there are 4 things you should add when you're starting with a prompt. Like say you're doing a job description for a children's ministry role. So maybe you start with, I'm trying to write a job description for a children's ministry role, and that's all the farther you've gotten. What I would say is, here are the 4 things you should add to that. And Bart already mentioned one of them. You start by saying, you know, write your prompt wherever you're starting from, just write that down and say, this is a prompt. I need help with better improving this prompt. And then you say these 4 things. Number 1, act as a prompt engineer with a Christian perspective. Number 2, review the following prompt for me. Number 3, optimize to make it better. And number 4, ask me any questions you have before proceeding. Those are the 4 questions you should add in order to improve every single prompt you write from ever, forever from here on out.
Okay. I'm going to ask you to do one thing, David. Yeah. Will you type that up in a Google Doc and then share it so we can put it in the show notes? And that way, anybody who is watching or listening to this, they can go to the show notes and they can actually get a copy of that set of questions. I find for me often when I have written a prompt that I'm going to be using on a regular basis, I actually shared a video in the AI for Churches Facebook group last week. I created a prompt for writing announcements, and we'll link to that. We'll go ahead and link to that that video in the show notes here. Mm-hmm. And I basically worked out, massaged my prompt, and then I save it in a Google Doc so that every time I have an announcement that I need these components written for, I just copy and paste it. I'm not having to retype it every single time because it's one that I'm using all the time. Yesterday after our church gathering, took the transcript from my sermon, had Claude write me a blog post. I've already massaged the prompt in the way that I almost always get a good workable finished product the first time. And so I save it in a Google Doc, and then I just copy and paste that prompt every Sunday afternoon so that I'm not having to retype it or rethink every single time. And what happens is because I'm using consistency, I'm using the same tool and I'm using the same prompt, I get a consistent set of results every single time.
Yes. Yep. Well, we can subtext this as prompt massage 101.
Okay. Well, moving on. Hey, tell us about this interview that you did with Jake Carlson.
Yeah. So Jake Carlson, I met him actually at the Glue Hackathon, and it was actually, he presented some stuff there, and I thought what he presented was really cool. He was talking about AI and apologetics. How can we use AI as actually an apologetic resource to help people come to faith? And now, a year ago, probably that thought would be an anathema to many people to say, no way, you should never use AI when it comes to a church apologetics. It can't do that. Well, that was so cool. Talking with Jake, this is what he was working on, is how can we use AI to actually help us in an actual church apologetic way, and to help people cross over to faith, help people who are trying to talk to people to cross over their faith. How can an AI be trained to help us in apologetics? That is what he's created. That is what we talk about. And it's actually a really great interview.
Well, it sounds very interesting, and I'm sure that our audience is going to get a lot out of it. I haven't heard it yet myself, so I'm looking forward to listening to this one as well. Thanks again for tuning in to the AI for Churches podcast. If you're not already a part of the AI for Churches Facebook group, make sure that you click over to our Facebook group and join the group. We'll link to that in the show notes. And if you haven't ever tried our free tool called Sermon Spark, make sure that you do that as well. SermonSpark.ai is where you can find that. That will, of course, be in the show notes. And please subscribe wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts. Subscribe to our YouTube channel so that you don't miss any future episodes. And with all that said, here's David's recent interview with Jake Carlson.
Hi, I'm here with Jake Carlson, founder of the Apologist Project, which is an interesting intersection between AI and apologetics. So for all of our pastors, church leaders, just people out there interested in AI and what can AI do? Should I be afraid that it's going to blow up the world? And what are positive things that it could do? So I wanted to bring Jake on here because he's using AI in a very interesting way in regards to apologetics. So Jake, how about you introduce yourself and tell us a little bit about what you have been working on in regards to AI?
Yeah, absolutely. So like David said, I'm the founder of the Apologist Project, and we started about a year ago when we realized there was a real gap for Christian apologetics, in particular in the AI space, and just in general, like a lack of an ecosystem that comprehensively catered to Christian apologetics ministries and so forth. So our initial offering was a chatbot that drew upon a corpus of public domain apologetics works, especially from the church fathers and so forth, and of course the Bible itself. And ever since then, we've been trying to expand that corpus to include more contemporary apologetics works, with permission, of course, from the authors. And the idea is that a user can come on to apologist.ai and ask any question about God, Jesus, or the Bible, and get a pretty good, quick answer that's far superior to, you know, searching Google and wading through, you know, thousands of results, some of which are from a Christian perspective and some of them aren't.
Yeah, that's very cool. And that's live now?
That is live now, yep.
Very cool. So yeah, so you should definitely go on apologist.ai and check it out. So that's been live for a while now. How have you seen it be used thus far?
Yeah, so really interesting stories that we've come up with. So first of all, we're logging every question response so that we can, that'll inform the training of our model moving forward. And so we get, once in a while, we'll get a message from just a random user. In fact, one of the ones that I highlight frequently is we got a message from a guy named Yurkin from Kazakhstan. And he reached out and just said, "Hey, I'm a student of comparative religions. People in my community are asking questions about Christianity, and I don't know what to tell them. Can you help me?" And I was like, "Yeah, like use our bot." And like he used it, and he was able to, you know, quickly learn what he needed, you know, quickly input the questions that he had or other people were having, and get answers from a biblical perspective. So it's been really useful. It's been really great to see the reach that it's had already.
Yeah, that's very cool. And so Jake and I were both at the AI hackathon together, and Jake presented a really cool use of their apologist project. Can you share about that?
Yeah, absolutely. So one of the things that we found is that it's somewhat difficult to have a very generalized model that that answers people without context of where they're coming from. And so just to give you a little bit of background here. So I, through some serendipitous circumstances, met with a missionary who serves in a Muslim majority country. I don't want to give too much away because it's a sensitive situation. But he gave me the feedback like, "Hey, you have an apologetic spot that gives the users good biblical answers. However, the responses that it gives aren't appealing to the user's own source of authority that they would find authoritative," right? So in other words, telling me, for example, since I'm a Christian, telling me like what the Quran says about you know, Jesus, I'm just going to be like, "Okay, yeah, but the Quran is something I don't believe in, so therefore I don't care," right? But in the case of, say, a Muslim, what they would find authoritative would be the Quran. And so an answer that first uses their source of authority that they agree with, and then pulling the user back to truths about Christianity based on that initial kind of authoritative source, or in some cases showing gaps in maybe their authoritative source as opposed to a Christian model, is a much more effective way to engage with them. And so what we did for this year's Glue Hackathon is we focused in on the Muslim community. And we put some stats up there, like Islam is the fastest growing religion. And if the current trend continues, then through a higher birth rate than Christian households, Islam will become the dominant religion by the end of the century. And so we thought that would be a really good thing to tackle right out of the gate because of just the amount of folks who are of a Muslim persuasion. And so what we did then is we, through prompt engineering, created a custom version of our chat bot that specifically was instructed to appeal to Quranic verses and then tie those back to biblical verses and then teach Christian truth based on that connection for the user. And so not only did we create the system prompt for that to happen, but we also curated a group of articles and books and so forth that were specifically from Muslim serving ministries, all with permission, of course. And so we partnered with several ministry partners across the world that had that particular worldview in mind. And then that formed the corpus from which the chatbot would draw from in its responses.
That is very cool. And yeah, that's a very cool thing. So I hope everyone understands, you know, when they're saying that, what you said there is that a chatbot that was an apologetics chatbot built specifically for individuals from a Muslim background who can or is trained specifically to give biblically accurate responses in a contextually helpful way.
Exactly.
Which is amazing. Now, okay. So whenever on our podcast, we have these conversations about what can AI do? What can't it do? Where's the line? Yeah. And it's one of those things where, let's say 6 months ago, we'd say, oh, the line is over here. It can't do any of these things. And I find that over time, that line begins to shift a little bit.
Yes.
Now, in the world of apologetics, if I was going to play devil's advocate and basically say, Jake, apologetics is only for humans. Mm-hmm. It's meant to be human, shares human. Mm-hmm. And AI cannot effectively share the gospel because an AI is not imbued with the Holy Spirit. And that is a spirit work. And therefore, how can this be a good thing? What would you say to somebody? And again, it may not be your listeners. It might be who our listeners are friends with. And that's what they hear. And so what would you say to somebody who struggles with this idea?
Yeah. So first of all, I have heard that before, and it's not an uncommon thing to encounter. And what I would respond to and what I have responded with in the past is, if you take a step back to technological advancements throughout history, you could make the same argument for all of those, like television. You're not currently present with the person, and therefore, there's some kind of distance between them, and therefore, that's not letting the Holy Spirit work, or some such, right? Or even like going back further, paper and ink, right? The was Paul lazy or negligent to not walk all the way over to Philippi instead of writing a letter? No. So I think the key here is that human beings with community with the Holy Spirit can write things, right? Create content that are then delivered to individuals in various mediums, right? And so just a little bit about the way the chatbot works. It's essentially a word calculator. It uses probabilistic mechanisms to determine how to respond to an individual inquiry. But the information it draws upon is what I've been talking about before, like the corpus of knowledge, right? So human beings wrote articles or books, and the chatbot then synthesizes that information and tries to get the most probabilistic, given that information, the most probabilistic response to a user's inquiry. So all we're really doing here is allowing technology to synthesize the good works that human beings have produced, right? If you take a look at Google results, for example, if you want to get technical, those results have been curated via an algorithm that were written by human beings, right? And not only that, but the content that end up in the results have also been written by human beings. And so what I look at is I just say, this is just a faster way for us to synthesize information and give it to the user instead of them having to, go to a library and search for all those things and then synthesize it themselves. Now, there are dangers. There's no question about that, right? But what I would say to those folks who are concerned about that, and frankly, I am too, I don't want to seem like I'm not concerned about it, is that we have a lot of guardrails in place. For example, we have that corpus in which we instruct the chatbot to draw from rather than its general knowledge. And we also instruct it very carefully about how to respond and that it has everything that it says has to be biblically based and so forth. And the last point I would make as well is I believe in a God who is sovereign over all, not just human beings, right? And so if it were hypothetically, even if all the safeguards that we have been talking about here weren't in place, I still believe that God working and the Holy Spirit working through human beings creating this software is still sovereign over that. And so I don't have an overriding fear that just because the mode of delivery is different and more efficient, that it's somehow different in kind than, say, writing a letter 2,000 years ago.
Yeah. It makes me think, we could ask that person who is concerned, do you think God could work through a Google search? And do you, or let's say this, do you think God could work through content on your church website?
Yeah.
And because in both cases, a human is putting in a prompt, a query into Google.
Yeah.
And then Google is populating results. And with the hope that the content that the church has curated or that a Christian organization has curated would be a result that a person would interact with and then be swayed through the work of the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. And so Christians in general have no issue with believing that God can work through biblically curated content.
Right.
And so that's what I hear you saying is, okay, cool. If you can come with me that far, then we have a really smart thing that is trained on and or fine-tuned by or has learned from that kind of curated resources. And is like, oh, cool, you have that question? Well, oh, let me look through my encyclopedia of curated smart Bible knowledge.
Exactly.
I have something that I believe that can help you.
Yeah.
Here is generated response that I believe you are looking for.
Exactly. And just to interject, we also provide sources and citations. So when we not only do we draw on that corpus and hand that context to the chatbot, but when it responds, it will actually literally quote extra biblical sources in some cases. But when it does so, it will say like, okay, well, this is from, you know, currently have C.S. Lewis due to licensing it, you know, but you know, hypothetically, C.S. Lewis made this quote, and therefore, like, here's his book. You can go click here to learn more.
Yeah, which is that's very, very cool. So let's say that someone is out there and they're saying, okay, I am fascinated by the concept of using AI for apologetics. How might a person use, like if they were going to lean into this and say, cool, this is a tool in my apologetic toolbox I did not know existed. How could a person lean into a tool like this and actually make it a part of their, you know, Swiss Army knife of apologetic tools that they make use of to help share the gospel?
Yeah, it's a great question. So, you know, I think we probably all know people who might like carry around like a little, you know, commentary or appendix or something like that. And if somebody asks them a complicated question about, you know, their theology, they might look it up. Right. So I have heard of people kind of using it in context of like Bible studies, Christians, right, who use it in context of Bible studies where, you know, they start talking about a topic and instead of, you know, searching it up or whatever, they just use our chat bot to kind of synthesize those materials and get a quick answer, right? So I think that's there's good internal uses for Christendom to have reference tools like this that are more effective than what we already have. But, you know, the end goal of this is always evangelistic. So the primary audience that we're looking for is either direct or indirect impact on a non-believer to have to for them to remove stumbling blocks that they might have intellectually, especially to the Christian faith. And so while we do hope that, you know, individuals such as, you know, the fellow I named before, Yurkin from Kazakhstan, will definitely get on there and ask complicated questions about Christianity and get good answers, it's also equally possible that someone, say, from a Muslim persuasion might have a question that they ask a Christian, and the Christian will say something like, I don't know the answer to that, but I can look it up very quickly, or go back to their house later and say like, okay, yeah, I'm going to look it up. I'm going to sharpen my knowledge about how to answer these questions in the future. So I think both are equally applicable, but the end goal is to further the kingdom of God. And so therefore it's all in service, I think, of the non-believer, either directly or indirectly.
Yeah. How do you get people to use it?
I mean, maybe more of a marketing question is like, we need to get the word out as best we can. And this is, you know, podcasts like this is great for that purpose. But we try to make it as simple as possible. One of the biggest things that we're very concerned about is user experience. And so there's no barriers to this. You don't have to sign up. You don't have to do anything other than just go to apologist.ai and type in a question, and it will spit back an answer with citations. And so we're trying to make it as accessible as possible. We also support currently, I think, 13 languages. Recently, because we were creating a Muslim serving chatbot specifically, we decided to add a few languages that would be more conducive for that population. So we added Arabic, Turkish, and Indonesian. And then prior to that, we had 10 languages, but they were mostly European and Eastern Asian centric. So none of those Muslim majority countries. And we're always trying to improve our language support as well, so that the whole world can use it, you know, freely. So yeah, the short answer is, if you find the secret to getting the word out for us, then I want to talk to you. But in general, we're just trying to get as many people into the hands of as many people as possible to find use for it.
Yeah, it's one thing I think about is if you did like a grassroots marketing movement where you just said, stump the AI, basically challenge somebody to find a loophole, or you're like, hey, if you disagree with Christianity, if you are somebody who is frustrated with God, we dare you to stump the AI. And just almost as like, if I was going to share this with a person, a friend, I'd say, hey, here's this thing. It's trained on all kinds of, you know, theology related stuff.
Yep.
I dare you, try to stump it. Try to ask it the hardest question you can come up with and see if you disagree with the answers. Mm-hmm. And something I could see like some kind of marketing campaign like that. And just as a way of getting people who your exact audience you want to try to use it.
That's a great idea. Yeah. And there's, you know, we've come up with a lot of different angles to this. And one of them honestly is like a premium version where it's like a debate partner, for example, where this is more of like an internal Christian believer use where it's like, I really want to sharpen my knowledge. Let's try and get the chat bot to debate me, right? Stuff like that. So there's a ton of stuff that we can do to help sharpen the minds of believers and to challenge non-believers alike.
Yeah, very cool. Well, this is so cool. I'm very excited about what you're building, and thanks so much for sharing. And I think a big picture for our audience for this podcast is just seeing that the line of what AI can do as a tool in the gospel tool belt is bigger than we think, and it gets bigger by the day. And things like this just say, man, there's so much that technology can do to help us share the gospel in ways we never thought were not possible even 6 months ago, a year ago. And so thanks for your work on this.
Yeah. Thank you so much, David.